So last week, or 2 weeks ago, we started The Virtuous Woman. And I'll tell you, ladies, my sweet sisters, there is so much in The Virtuous Woman to the Lord just has been pouring it out. And I don't know how far we'll get again today. I know we only covered about 3 or 4 verses last week. And I'm trusting the Lord that we can cover 4 or 5 verses today. But chapter 31 of Proverbs, please. If you turn, starting in verse 10, I will read through 17. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She's like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and she giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field, and she buyeth it, and with the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. And I think that's about as far as we'll have time to go through. Just recapping a little bit last time we gathered together. We found that there's 40 qualifications in this virtuous woman through these verses. And we know the number 40 is perfect testing. And the Lord, he is so faithful to perfect that which concerns us. For he is the one that desires for us to grow up in him in all things. And I can't stress enough that it's Christ in us, that as he grows, as we allow him to grow up in us, these qualities will come out. You don't have to work at it. You just let that life work through you. And he says we're going to be like him. We're going to be like him, and we'll see him as he is. This virtuous woman, she rejoices over him, the lover of her soul, and she accepts. She allows, she submits to all the tribulations, all the sufferings, persecutions, everything that he has allowed to come her way, knowing that these are the things that will ready her and complete her to be this virtuous woman. She's confident, as in Philippians 6, I'm confident of the Lord that the very thing that he started in each one of us, he's going to complete or perform.
Thank you, Lord.
Until that day of Christ. And this word perform means to fulfill further, completely finish, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform this, completely finish, make you perfect. And isn't it wonderful to rest in that? Because it's him that's working in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. We found that the bride, this virtuous woman, she's not a babe or a child. She'll be fully developed as she submits to the Lord. And she will apprehend that for which she is apprehended. In Philippians 3, it's Paul expresses, not as though I've already attained, and neither am I made perfect, but I apprehend that for which I am apprehended by Christ Jesus. So the abundance of grace is flowing, and she partakes of it, and she takes more and more grace to enable her to be the woman that he has purposed for her to be. So in verse 10, and I'm just going to touch on these briefly because we covered this extensively last time, we found that it's Jesus that searches and finds the virtuous woman, and her price is above rubies. She's a pearl of great price that he sought and he purchased with his own blood and life. In Proverbs 3:15, it says, "She's more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her." She excels above others. And then we also read that many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest above them all. So not all Christians will be this virtuous woman in the body of Christ. Thank the Lord that he's enlightened our eyes to see that. And Esther 2:8, wonderful example. "So it came to pass when the king's commandment and his decree was heard," and this is Esther 2, verse 8, "and when many maidens were gathered together in Shushan, the palace, to the custody of Hegai, that Esther was brought also into the king's house, to the custody of Hegai," or however you want to pronounce it, Haggai, "keeper of the woman." But you notice, only one was chosen, and Esther was the chosen one. Then you think about Rebecca. I was thinking, how many of the women must have come to that well? But, you know, the Lord saw aforetime, and Rebecca, he sees the heart. And so there it is. Eliezer seeks that wife for his son, and it was Rebecca. And now, you notice, she had a family. There was a whole body of people, but she was the chosen one. There's so many examples for us to see in the Word of God and be able to recognize that there is ranks in the resurrection. There is a bride that he has called out for his name's sake. So then we saw in verse 11 that the heart of her husband, and that is Jesus, doth safely trust her. He sees her heart. He sees the intent of her heart, just like the Lord saw Job and pointed it out to Satan. "You've seen my servant Job." And the Lord permitted all that to come his way. He saw David. David was a man after his own heart. And Enoch, think about Enoch. And by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was found not, because God translated him. For before his translation, he has this testimony that he pleased God. Jesus sees a willing heart. He knows. He looks deep within. He knows his beloved. And he can safely trust her as he brings the trials, as he brings the sufferings. And he knows that she will look unto him, that she will take, that this is his perfect timing to bring this in her life. She knows he loves me, he loves me, he loves me. He would never bring anything to defeat me. So the Lord, in turn, is very pleased with a virtuous woman with that kind of heart. He gives her gifts. And I thought about the different gifts in the gospel that Jesus spoke about. Some he gave 5, some he gave 10, and so forth. But Matthew 25:21, the Lord said of the one that used it for his glory, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." The heart of her husband doth safely trust her. And then we saw in verse 12 that she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She does his will, not hers. She seeks his will. And it is for his good pleasure. But notice, it is him that worketh in us to will and to do. It's not of us. It is his life in us and the Holy Spirit just quickening and enabling us to do his will. She's a testimony. She's a testimony. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. And Ruth we saw in 3:11, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. I don't think she went around broadcasting it, but all the people in the city did know. And I didn't know that that verse was in Ruth, and the Lord led me to that. We found as she abides in him, she will bear him much fruit. She yielded to the working of the Holy Spirit in her life and became a willing vessel. She's a fragrant garden enclosed to her beloved. She overcomes evil with good. And for her to live is Christ. Now we get to verse 13. And ladies, I pray that the Lord just enlightens your eyes to this. There is so much in just this verse. And so, Lord willing, we will get through this. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. The Hebrew word for seeketh comes from the root word to tread or frequent, to follow, to seek, ask, specifically worship. Seeketh. She seeketh his and only his righteousness. This wool speaks in the scriptures of the truth, of the provisional truth. She seeks and follows and searches only the truth that is in Jesus alone. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's the good shepherd, and we are the sheep. There's so much to go into even that portion of the sheep and the shepherd, but she knows his voice and she follows him. So I won't go into too much of that, but the wool in a sheep, the sheep do not labor to have that wool. It is on the sheep. There is no toiling. It's just there. It just is produced on that. And so we think about ourselves. We are covered with the righteousness of God. It's his righteousness. The minute that we became a child of God, we had his righteousness. And it's wonderful for that to become a reality in your life. There's security. There's rest in knowing. It's his righteousness. The virtuous woman found out many, many times her self-righteousness is as filthy rags. We're saved by grace alone, not of works, lest any man should boast. In 1 Corinthians 1:30, but of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And then 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. His righteousness is all over us, in us, it's all over us. Ephesians 4 says that we're created in righteousness and true holiness. It's not by righteousness which we have done, it's through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And then, of course, in Philippians 3:9, we read, and being found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Titus says, but after that, the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man, have appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. That being justified by his grace, we should be heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So, that righteousness covers us. And I thought of this verse in Isaiah 1:18, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. This is the provisional truth of the speaking of the wool. Now we turn to the flax. This is precious. Flax speaks of the practical truth, the practical outliving of what is in us. There's an outward working of his righteous life in us and through us. And if we will allow him, if we'll just yield over to him, just like the virtuous woman, these things will flow out. For we're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. There is a process about the flax. The flax is used and is made, and the result of that is linen. And so I looked into that process, and there's much precious truths in it. And I will just point out briefly some of the points. First of all, flax is a plant, and it grows kind of tall, and they pull it from its roots, the whole thing. And the seeds, it's really interesting, but the seeds are used for health reasons. But one of them is helps the heart. The seed helps the heart, the flax seed oil. It's really sweet. Well, they take these stalks of flax, and they have to soak them. They soak them in water. And as they're soaked in water for a period of time, the outward part of the flax, the bark, becomes loosened. And I'll get to how that pertains to us, which you probably, the Holy Spirit will show you this. Then they take those from the water, and they take it through a process called breaking. And it crushes, they pound this, and it crushes off the bark. And they use these wooden tools, and they hit this flax. And it is a process that you'd think the whole plant would be destroyed, but no. The person that's doing this knows exactly how much to beat that and watches as the bark falls off, because he wants to get to the fibers in the middle that make up the linen. So after soaking and beating and crushing, then it's put through a tool that has spikes, nails. And it's ran through that, and more of the bark, more of the impurities fall off, until they finally, by bringing it through over and over and over, they see the fibers that make up the linen. So then, after the combing process, it needs to be washed again. There's repeated washings, removing any spots or blemishes, that would show up later or reduce the quality of this linen. So many, many washings, And you can see the inferior of some lesser valued linen. They weren't washed good enough. Okay, the next process is sun bleaching to make it white. And some would use chemical or artificial processing, but they don't. They lay it out for the sun to bleach it and make it white. And this process brings out the luster of this these fibers. They become very soft and silky, which was then worked to the next process of spinning it, of causing, and there's a verse in there that we're not going to cover right now about the spindling and so forth, and the distaff and the spindle and so forth. But I thought of this whole process that this flax goes through to produce this linen, and I thought, boy, that person that does it has to be a craftsman, really know what they're doing, really know how long should this be washed, how long should this be in the sun's rays, and then how much tension, you know, to draw it out to be that thread, how to put it on the spinning wheel, how to put it, just, I thought, oh, thank you, Jesus. You're my craftsman. So we'll go through this and bring out some of the parallels to this. What a process that's going on in our lives by the Holy Spirit to make us this virtuous woman. He separates her unto himself. He says, come out from among them and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you. He has separated us to himself even before the foundation of the world. In 2 Timothy 1:9, it says, who hath called us, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus, before the world began. Of course, the trials, the crushings, and so forth that go on in our lives, it's less of us. He increases. He increases the righteousness, which is that flax. It is not of us. And you find through more and more trials, the more crushings, the more pressing times, the more times that we're afflicted, causes us to fall upon our knees and cry out to him. And then we realize, it's all of you, Lord. It's none of me. It's always you. And I need you. And causes our hearts to submit even to those trials and tribulations, those afflictions. There is a working out of his life in us that will produce that pearl of great price. Ephesians 5:26 says, that he might cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. So that process of washing, and he says, that I might present it a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And you remember when Jesus talked to Peter, and Peter said, well, just wash me. And, you know, if he said, if I wash thee now not, thou shalt not have any part of me. So the word of God, virtuous woman will take in the word of God, will allow it to cleanse her. In Psalms 119:9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. In John 15:3, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful for his word, how it does cleanse us, among many other things, refreshes us, builds us up, encourages us, oh, and so on. So, being pressed out of measure, despairing even of her own life, he brings these things our way, and they're wrapped in love. Philippians, let's see, I wanted to just bring out about the power and the fellowship of his sufferings. So we read that in Philippians 3:10. If we'll turn to that. Let's see. Let's just read through the 14th verse. That I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. And of course, let's not forget about the sun bleaching, which produces that brightness. The Lord kind of impressed upon me and showed me a twofold description of this, that we have the fiery rays of the sun, the fiery trials, that causes more of his glory. And I think of Moses, you know, just being before the Lord, and even the back parts of the Lord, the glory that was on his face. He needed to put a veil over his face to even come down and be in front of the children of Israel. What glory there is. And as we are before the Lord, he changes us from glory to glory. And think about Paul. I mean, just being in his presence, how that sun shone round about him. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. And it blinded his eyes. It was so bright. So we are before him. Let him change you from glory to glory. As you look into the Word of God, as you allow him, that it's more of him, there will be a glory shining forth. It will be bright. There will be that light. And it's all of him. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with unveiled faces reflecting as a mirror the glory of the Lord are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. Again, it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. In James, we heard this last night from the pulpit, but let patience have her perfect work, that we may be complete, are perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And in Romans 8:18, the virtuous woman will stand up and say, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. She knows this work that he wants to do in her life, and he's given her a willing heart to let him do this work. She knows that one day this vile body will be changed and be fashioned like his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So one day, in Revelation 19:7, we'll hear, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And the Revised Version says, righteous acts of the saints. These are the bride's righteous deeds laid up to her credit. Righteous works that he before ordained that she should walk in them. Brother Copley states that these acts are what she spins and weaves to make her wedding garments during this life on earth. It's all to his glory. And then let me say lastly, get a quick drink. This wool and this flax. In the Old Testament, the Lord told him he didn't want these two fibers to mix. And on Deuteronomy 22:11, God commanded Israel that no garment was to have a mixture of wool and linen. This again shows the provisional and the practical, our state and our standing. We can't mix works into salvation. It's all by grace through faith. This is all by grace through faith also, the working of the flax, the linen. But you can't mix, and the majority of Christianity today, they bring in the works to make themselves righteous. We have religions on every hand that promote people to live a holy life, to do these works, to have these ministries, to be more pleasing unto the Lord. They've tried to mix those two fibers. No, it's his righteousness. We're saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves. Lest any works that even what we heard of our pastor when some days long ago, I feel like Brother Hill's been gone quite a while, miss him, but he said if it was just even a little pinky nail, you know, people would boast and say, I didn't cut it. I took care of it, but no, it's all him. It's all him. And I thought that was really sweet to see that when I knew that those two fibers could not be blended, I asked the Lord, why? Why is it that way? And he completely showed it to me. It has nothing to do with the workings to make you righteous. So, praise the Lord. We're his workmanship. He's the potter, we're the clay. He's the master. He's the one that's doing it all. And the last part of that verse says that, let's see, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. And this is a sweet, sweet attitude that the virtuous woman will have. It's tremendous to me. She's willing to be used for his glory. She's a willing vessel. Whatever you do it as unto him. And she doesn't murmur. She doesn't complain. She does it with a willing heart. She works willingly with her hands. And she walks in those foreordained steps. She knows it's him that worketh in me to will and to do. She doesn't look for acknowledgement or somebody to applaud her or recognition. She does it heartily as unto the Lord. She works willingly with her hands. In Colossians 3:17 it says, and whatever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now we'll go to the next verse in 14. She's like a merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. Think about merchant ships. They import valuable things. They have much goods on there, and it comes from afar. And think about the virtuous woman. She's like this ship. She's filled with all the fullness of God. She's filled with the very words of life. What wealth is in this woman? She brings her food from afar, from the heavenlies, where the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. She brings the heavenly manna, the bread of life, which comes down from heaven, the gospel of grace and glory, the good news from a far country. She brings good tidings from afar, the word of God's grace, which is able to build her up and able to build others up and will give them an inheritance to all them that are sanctified. She has believed and she has received the truth, the word of God, which works effectually in her. She's tasted and she has eaten the finest, his word. She is ready and willing to give out what she has believed and taken in for herself. She's like a Berean saint in that she receives the word with all readiness of mind and who searches out the scriptures daily. She heeds the instruction of the Holy Spirit. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Her feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. She holds forth the words of life, his words of life, to others in this dark and perverse world. With great joy and without hesitation, she speaks her beloved words to others. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. The Lord enables her to preach the word, to be instant in season and out of season, to reprove and rebuke and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. This is as the Spirit gives her utterance. She comforts, she instructs, she builds one another up, she edifies, she magnifies him. In 1 Thessalonians 5:11, wherefore comfort yourselves together, edify one another, even as also you do. And this all goes with the next verse, verse 15. She rises also while it is yet night, and she giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. This word riseth, in the Strong's Hebrew, means to rise, abide, accomplish, confirm, continue, endure, stand up, establish, stir up, strengthen. She rises, she endures, she stands up, she abides. This word night, she does this in the nighttime, means in adversity, in times of trial. This speaks of the nighttime experiences. That is, she rises when it's night and it's not convenient, while others may be sleeping in the night and in the dark times. Even while it's yet night, and we are, ladies, we are in a very dark time. And during these dark times, she rises up through the great trials, the dark trials. Her ear is tuned to his voice. He quickens her and he says, rise up, my love, my fair one. Stand up. Speak my words of life and light. Give meat. That is my word to your household. This virtuous woman, she's full of faith and love. She's not sleeping as others. She's awake. She's sober-minded, ready to give an answer to those that ask her in her own household. Romans 13, 11 through 12, and that knowing the time, that now it's high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. And then we'll read Ephesians 5, 8 through 16. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, and whatsoever doth make manifest is a light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepeth. Arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Arise. Then in 1 Thessalonians, we read in chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We're not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. And then we'll drop down to verse 11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, edify one another, even as also ye do. And the next part of this verse is that she giveth meat to her household. This word household is mentioned 4 times in speaking of the virtuous woman, which is interesting because the number 4 is human weakness, man's weakness. It's an earthly number. And I looked up the word household, and it especially it brings out a family. It says different applications, especially family, court, daughter. So let's look at this, the realm of her family. That's where she abides. We think about different women, our home, our household, our children. And I know also there's another aspect as far as the household of God as well. And this too can apply. She stands as for me, and my house will serve the Lord. Her priorities are set. Christ comes first. She gives him first place in her life and in her home. He is the head and is the headship of her life. Her household knows it because in all things and in all circumstances, Christ is proclaimed and magnified. By God's grace, this woman stands and withstands against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. She gives out the word again with boldness, not hesitating, but always in love. She wants her household to be saved and come to a full knowledge of the truth. She stands in defense of the gospel. She does not compromise the truth of his word. She speaks always in love. She rightly divides it. She's the Shulamite, the perfect, the peaceful one. Song of Solomon mentions her and says that her teeth are evenly shorn, none barren. That is, she gives out the meat of the word. In Deuteronomy 6:7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest down in thy house, when thou risest up by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Ephesians 5:16 says, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. We're in an evil time. This virtuous woman realizes there's an enemy out there, and he wants to rob, he wants to steal, he wants to kill. And she sees it plainly. Her eyes aren't blinded to this. She knows. And she wants her household. She knows that only the word of God will sustain each and every one. She's not ignorant of the devil's devices. The Lord strengthens her in every way to give out the word of God. And she knows his word is quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder soul and spirit, the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. She knows that his word will not come back void, but it will accomplish that which he pleased, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto he has sent it. I thought of Paul and Silas. They were in a dark time. And even though it may not have been their own family, but there was a household that got saved during that time. Let's go to Acts 16. It's such a precious story, and I think we're all familiar with it. Let's start with verse 22, Acts 16, 22. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. It was a dark time for them, but where were their hearts? Their vision was on the Lord. And they prayed and they thanked God and sang praises to him. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out a sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." And they spoke unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. How precious. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. She rises also while it's yet night, and she giveth meat to her household. As Paul, she gives out the meat of the word. Then, it's interesting, because now it says the portion to her handmaids. Now, here's the other part of this. There are those, and let me just say this, the word maidens means infancy to adolescence. They're not full grown. So there's a portion given to them. It's not the meat. She gives a portion to those that are young in Christ. She doesn't try to feed them with meat. Some are only babes and can only take in the milk of the word. In Peter, 1 Peter 2, it says, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." And in Hebrews 5:12, "For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles or the oracles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat." Also in Hebrews, "For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe." And that's 5:13. 5:14 in Hebrews says, "But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." So she knows exactly, because it's the Holy Spirit that speaks to her and gives her the discernment. And isn't it sweet how the Lord will bring forth a message? And there's all different maturities within the meeting. But he knows, and he feeds the milk of the word, and he feeds the meat of the word to the mature ones. So he has equipped her and enabled her to be a minister both to the young, to the mature saints, and to babes. Song of Solomon 4 says, honey and milk are under thy tongue. She's not like the Dead Sea. And it was interesting when Brother Jesse brought this out last night. You see, the Dead Sea has no outlet. There's water that comes in, that flows into it, but it's stagnant. And nothing lives in it. Nothing living can abide in it. It has a high count of salt and sulfur and many, many things. There's no outlet to flow. It's all closed up. And the Sea of Galilee, on the other hand, has water running in and running out. And it's good water. It's clean water. And so it is with this virtuous woman. She gives out the word. She takes it in, and that's what needs to take place first, is to take the word in. And then, as she takes it in for herself, she's able to bring it out towards others. So she is like the Sea of Galilee. She will always magnify him, speak of him, always lift him up. She speaks to others, and it's all about Jesus. And it's tailor-made to the one that she speaks to. Okay, let's go to the next verse. She considers the field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands, she planteth the vineyard. And I think that we're going to have to stop at that verse because we're getting kind of late here. The field speaks of the world and the sinner in the world. That is the unsaved. And Jesus says this in Matthew 13:38, the field is the world. We know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And then in verse 17, that's John 3:16, but then in 17, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. This virtuous woman, she sees the sinner in the world, and the love of God flowing in and out of her causes her to have passion for that sinner. She has a passion for souls. As the Holy Spirit leads, she buys up every opportunity. She redeems that time, and she gives out the word of God. She plants a seed, the incorruptible word of God that liveth and abideth forever. In 1 Corinthians 3, 6 through 9, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything or he that watereth, but it's God that gives the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward, according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Many times we are used to speak as the Spirit gives utterance. And then there's times when our testimony, we're quiet, and our testimony speaks loud. And I think many times the Lord will use that. Not a word will come out of our mouths. But oh, how that testimony travels, how it goes, because they see. They see the light in her. They see the glory. Her lips speak of Calvary only, and his blood that was shed at Calvary. In Song of Solomon 4, and I keep going back to that because it's a description of the bride. Her lips are scarlet, which speaks of the blood of Christ. The gospel is burning in her heart, knowing he would have all men to be saved and come to a full knowledge of the truth. And in Romans 1:16 it says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Paul said, "We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord." You see, it's not about her, it's about Christ. It's not about us, it's about Christ. That same love that he has, God so loved, the love of God is in her heart. It is filled up, flowing out from her. And she wants to share that. But she knows it's only as the Spirit leads. And that's really something for us to realize, that those that are led of the Spirit are the mature sons of God. Always be led by the Spirit. Always allow him to lead and directing. We have a vast majority of people that are just going to go out and minister the word and grab people, and you're going to hear, well, you know what? The Holy Spirit prepares the heart. And he will lead us to the ones that he would have us to speak to. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading. In 1 Corinthians 9:16 and 17, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward." What an opportunity and a privilege the Lord gives us to speak of his salvation to others. You know, there's precious jewels. I just marvel at some that others would just kick by. But God, he sends somebody to pick up a precious jewel. And you see the working of the Holy Spirit that starts in that life. Then I'll go to, "With the fruit of her hands, she planteth the vineyard." Now, she is filled with the Holy Spirit. And she's filled with the fruit of the Spirit. There is love and joy and peace and long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. She's filled with this fruit. And with the fruit, she plants a bountiful vineyard. It's only as she abides in the Lord can she be fruitful. John said in 15, "I am the vine, you're the branches." This is what Jesus said. "He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing." And in verse 16, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit shall remain." The virtuous woman, she rejoices in what she has allowed the Lord and enabled her to plant in other people's lives. I thought about the fruit of her hands in a different sense as well, about prayer. Her hands are used in lifting others up to the Lord and praying. You know, the example was so sweet from Brother Hill when he talked about the prayers of a woman, of a mother, that you would have a better chance in stopping a train than to stop the prayers of a mother or a woman. What a privilege. Pray believing. Have your confidence not in others, your confidence in God. How many times have we heard people, "Put your confidence in God"? So the fruit of her hands. And what happens? There's a vineyard that she plants. Again, it's all Him. It's all the Spirit. She's very fruitful. His beloved is very fruitful. And by God's grace, He enables her to bear 100-fold fruit. And the meaning of the 100 is the elect and completion. You are God's elect. You are God's elect. And He promises to complete the work and enables you to become the virtuous woman. We'll stop there.